శ్రీమద్ భాగవత క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 32 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్ అండ్ ఫ్రూటివ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ దిస్ టెక్స్ట్ 28 జ్ఞానమేకం పరచినాయ ఇంద్రియాయ బ్రహ్మ నిర్గుణం అవాచ్యాత్పరూపేణ బ్రియంత్య శబ్దీదర్మిన జ్ఞానం నాలెడ్జ్ ఏకం వన్ పరాచినాయ అవర్స్ Indriyai, by the senses, Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Nirgunam, beyond the material modes, Avabhati, appears, Artharupena, in the form of various objects. Prantantya, mistakenly, Shabda Adi, sound and so on, Dharmina, endowed word. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those who are averse to the transcendence realize the Supreme Absolute Truth differently through speculative sense perception, and therefore because of mistaken speculation, everything appears to them to be relative. Purport. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is one, and He is spread everywhere by His impersonal feature. This is clearly expressed in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, "Everything that is experienced is but an expansion of my energy." Unquote. Everything is sustained by Him, but that does not mean that He is in everything. Sense perceptions such as oral perception of the sound of a drum, visual perception of a beautiful woman, or perception of the delicious taste of a milk preparation by the tongue all come through different senses and are therefore differently understood. Therefore, sensory knowledge is divided in different categories, although actually everything is one as a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the energies of fire are heat and illumination. And by these two energies, fire can display itself in many varieties or in diversified sense perception. Mayavadi philosophers declare this diversity to be false, but Vaishnava philosophers do not accept the different manifestations as false. They accept them as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are a display of His diverse energies. The philosophy that the Absolute is true and this creation is false, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, is not accepted by Vaishnava philosophers. The example is given that although all that glitters is not gold, this does not mean that a glittering object is false. For example, an oyster shell appears to be golden. This appearance of golden hue is due only to the perception of the eyes, but that does not mean that the oyster shell is false. Similarly, by seeing the form of Lord Krishna, one cannot understand what he actually is, but this does not mean that he is false. The form of Krishna is to be understood as it is described in the books of knowledge such as Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. By our imperfect sense perception, we cannot understand the form of the Lord. We have to acquire knowledge about Him. Therefore it is said here, Jnanam Ekam. Bhagavad Gita confirms that they are fools who simply upon seeing Krishna consider Him a common man. They do not know the unlimited knowledge, power, and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material sense speculation leads to the conclusion that the Supreme is formless. It is because of such mental speculation that the conditioned soul remains in ignorance under the spell of illusory energy. The Supreme Person has to be understood by the transcendental sound vibrated by Him in Bhagavad Gita, wherein He says that there is nothing superior to Himself. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is resting on His personality. The purified absolute vision of Bhagavad Gita is compared to the river Ganges. Ganges water is so pure that it can purify even the asses and cows. But anyone who, disregarding the pure Ganges, wishes to be purified instead by the filthy water flowing in a drain cannot be successful. Similarly, one can successfully attain pure knowledge of the Absolute only by hearing from the pure Absolute Himself. In this verse it is clearly said that those who are averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead speculate with the imperfect senses about the nature of the Absolute Truth. The formless Brahman conception, however, can be received only by oral reception and not by personal experience. Knowledge is therefore acquired by oral reception. That is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Shastra Yonit Vat. One has to acquire pure knowledge from the authorized scriptures. So-called speculative arguments about the Absolute Truth are therefore useless. The actual identity of the living entity is His consciousness, which is always present while the living entity is awake, dreaming, or in deep sleep. Even in deep sleep, he can perceive by consciousness whether he is happy or distressed. Thus, when consciousness is displayed through the medium of the subtle and gross material bodies, it is covered. But when the consciousness is purified, in Krishna consciousness, one becomes free from the entanglement of repeated birth and death. When uncontaminated pure knowledge is uncovered from the modes of material nature, the actual identity of the living entity is discovered. He is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The process of uncovering is like this. The rays of sunshine are luminous, and the sun itself is also luminous. In the presence of the sun, the rays illuminate just like the sun. But when the sunshine is covered by the spell of a cloud or by Maya, then darkness, the imperfection of perception, begins. Therefore, to get out of the entanglement of the spell of nescience, one has to awaken his spiritual consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, in terms of the authorized scriptures. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. One disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and he said that sometimes I am in Maya. So Srila Prabhupada retorted back, you are always in Maya. So what does this mean? It means that when one realizes that one is always in Maya, he is in Krishna consciousness. Sinking in? Because those who are in Maya don't know that they're in Maya. So to know that one is always in Maya means knowledge, and it means that one is Krishna conscious. Once in the lecture in Bhaktivedanta Manor, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, all of you can fall down, but I cannot fall down. So after the lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he came before the deities, and he was praying, and later one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what were you praying? So Srila Prabhupada replied that I was praying that I may never fall down. So the disciple, he was quite astonished, and he objected. He said, but Srila Prabhupada, you just said in the lecture that you cannot fall down. Like that. Then Srila Prabhupada explained, and he said, yes, because I am always praying that I will never fall down, therefore I will never fall down. So we see that both the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas, they understand, but the Jnana is different. They understand that in materialistic activities there's no happiness, both the Vaishnavas and the impersonalists or Mayavadis. But Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, but the Mayavadis, they strongly or strictly adhere to the slogan, Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya. In other words, they want to stop all activities and merge into the supreme Brahman or Absolute. But according to our Vaishnava understanding, that if one simply ceases from materialistic activities, one cannot remain inactive for very long, which is a fact. And therefore everyone should engage in spiritual activities, which will solve the problem of suffering in the material world. Now, although the Mayavadi philosophers strive to keep away from materialistic activities and try to merge, Prabhupada says that they try, but they don't actually succeed. They try to merge. And usually I coined the Vaishnava understanding. Their understanding is that we can become one with everything. my understanding in terms of Vaishnava philosophy is the collective oneness of individual spirit. That's the Vaishnava understanding. So there is a sense of oneness within devotees. And when that sense of oneness is lost into oneness, then one wants to actually merge into the Brahman existence. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, when they asked why the Brahmavadis and Mayavadis, there are two categories, but that's another separate discussion of what the differences are. But in general, the impersonalists, when they fall down, then Srila Prabhupada was asked the question, why do they fall down? And Srila Prabhupada gave such a simple and deep answer. He said, because they feel lonely. And loneliness is a lack of active activity. Because loneliness is actually passive activity. It's within you, and you form layers and layers of screens that nobody must know that one is lonely. It's like sometimes you get people and you say, oh, this person, you know, he's a people's person. But when he takes a shower, he cries in the shower. So it's external, but internally one cannot really fully detect like that. But with the Mayavadi philosophers is Arucha Krichana Parampadam Tata Patantiada. They actually fall down to activity. Patantiada. They fall down to activity of philanthropic and humanitarian activity. So activity has to be there. So because the Prabhupada calls them the so-called renouncer, they are actually unable to even meditate, because meditation is also an activity. Because they are unable to meditate even on Brahman for long, they have to fall down to activity. Like that. And therefore simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give happiness, and in that sense you cannot cease or stop materialistic activities. One has to take up. It is practically a necessity. One has to do spiritual activities. And then that way the solution of the problem would be solved. And then in that particular talk, Prabhupada immediately quoted, you know, Krishna Anusilanam Bhakti Uttama. And those activities should be favorable, right, and favorably executed, and should be favorable according to Krishna's desire. Both has to be there. Then Srila Prabhupada had a talk one time with a professor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly, if you're French speaking it, Chenik, C-H-E-N-I-Q-U-E, how do you pronounce that name? Chenik, like unique, Chenik. Yeah. So there was a professor, Chenik, correct? With all due respects to him, I hope we don't offend him in any way. Like that. He's a professor, but he was trained in the Sankaracharya and Buddhist philosophy. Now there's a difference between being trained and actually living it. It's his job. He's trained in that. He's a professor. So Srila Prabhupada was speaking to him and he said, so-called Gyani? Like that. So the professor was a little confused. What's the difference between a Gyani and a so-called Gyani? Just a so-called Gyani, three words, and this professor was bewildered, completely bewildered. So-called Gyani, like that. And then the professor said, because the Prabhupada could see on his face, and he was a little flustered and confused. something. He says, because they do not know Krishna. And therefore, ajnani. They're not really knowledgeable. Because they do not know Krishna. Ajnani. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted this particular verse also. Tathapatantiyada. You know, Aruche Krishna Parampadam. You know, Patantiyada. He quoted again and he said, and yes, they simply fall down. Immediately they fall down. Why? He asked, why? He said, because they have no shelter. And because they have no shelter, and he said, just like many so-called sannyasis, they come and take shelter into materialistic and philanthropic activities. Again, patantiyada. Immediately like that. So, how can they come and take shelter in Jagat Mithya? If they say Brahma Satyam, we accept Brahma Satyam, Brahman is truth, because it is a collective oneness of individuality. But Jagat Mithya, why are you coming again to this false material world and engaging in activities? So there are two reasons, because they feel lonely, Prabhupada said, and because they have no shelter in devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada gave another example. He said, just like they went to the moon, but they went to the moon to look for further shelter. They will not admit it. They didn't go to the moon to conquer. They didn't go to the moon to find out what's happening. They looked at the moon and there's no shelter. And just to prove they went to the moon, Prabhupada said they may have brought, or maybe they didn't go, they may have brought some sand back. So what is the shelter? Just some sand to come back. Prabhupada used the word sand in this sense, not rocks. You know, like that. So he said, what is the use of going then, spending so much money and coming back with a little sand? Like that, Prabhupada. Prabhupada is so wonderful. He speaks simply, but at the same time it's deep, because he speaks not with knowledge in the purport. He speaks with realization based on internal experience of others that enters into him. He doesn't need to experience it based on internal experience of others. And he said, because they have no shelter, again, puna musika bhava, they become mouse again. Like that. So this Professor Shanik, he was quite impressed by Srila Prabhupada, like that. And he got a little purified. So in the end, he responded, he said, yes, the knowledge of any person on the part of knowledge, and then he used Prabhupada's words. He said, the knowledge of any person on the path of knowledge who rejects the, he said, what do you say, the personality? Then I think maybe Yogesh Varpa was his personality. He said, who rejects the personality of Godhead is finished. This is coming from the professor who schooled in Sankarite and Buddhist philosophy, like that. And then Prabhupada said, yes, that is sublime knowledge. Knowledge itself is ajnana, but sublime knowledge is actual jnani, in that sense. And then Srila Prabhupada immediately took him to the spiritual world. And he said, when you talk with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when you dance with him, that is sublime. Let's see, Professor Shanik. He took him immediately to Rasa Lila. He said, when you talk with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when you dance with him, that is sublime perfection. And then he said, otherwise, you will have to dance with the dog. And it was like the end of the conversation. Like that. So the oneness of this philosophy in terms of being Vaishnava is actually a wonderful thing. And the principal feature of oneness in our movement is this one term which affects all of us practically eternally, and that is Sankirtan, Sangha, association, Kirtan. So the oneness means simply, Prabhupada said in another place, doing things together. That is Sankirtan, and that's our oneness, doing things together. At the same time, it is a collective oneness of individual spirit, in that sense. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Ramanujacharya, and he said, it's famous, you probably know this, all of you, when a green bird enters a green tree, it does not lose its individuality. And Prabhupada said at the same time, he gives another example, just like an animal that enters the forest, and then you cannot see the animal within the forest, and you, but at the same time it is one with the forest and keeps its individuality. Now, there is another aspect of understanding. You can be impersonal in a personal way, and you can be personal. Now, you can be impersonal in a personal way negatively, and you can be personal in an impersonal way positively. Is that okay? So we'll give you an example. Once Srila Prabhupada was in London, and there was a famous presenter with a very popular television show. And he was noted for embarrassing his host that he interviews on the television show. And that is very appealing to people, to see other people embarrassed. And therefore the show is popular. So it's negative. It's like you are impersonal in a personal way, but negatively. You don't care for the person. So you're impersonal in a personal way negatively. So this is that presenter. Like that. So when the devotees heard that Srila Prabhupada was invited to go and speak, some of the devotees, they went to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you don't know this reputation of this man. He will embarrass you. Like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, it is our duty. We must go. Like that. So when Prabhupada said that, it is personal in an impersonal way, positively. Because you care for the person, although he doesn't know you care. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada went, and the interviewer was controversial by embarrassing his hosts on the show, like that. Immediately he saw Srila Prabhupada, and he saw that Srila Prabhupada was quite sitting quite comfortably in the chair. Now normally, when you know the interviewer is going to embarrass you, you have a mindset, you may be a little bit nervous and fidgety and so forth like that. But he saw that Srila Prabhupada was quite comfortable in the chair. And in his consciousness, he was more determined to embarrass him. Because, you know, this person is comfortable in front of me. Of course, he had his questions worked out, and you know interviewers, they have like 15, 20 questions, they know the background of the person and so forth. So they'll ask one question to trap you, lead into the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So the first question is to ease you in, to be comfortable with the interviewer until he throws his, whatever you call it, like that, yeah. So the interviewer asked Srila Prabhupada, in your religion, do you have a concept of hell? So Prabhupada looked up aristocratically, he said, London is hell. And the interviewer was shocked. He couldn't go to the next question. He didn't know how to move, how to continue. like that. He didn't expect such a response from Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada actually stumped him. But Prabhupada was quite normal, because he's transcendentally seeing this hellish, like that. So there was quite some seconds of deep silence, and this interview didn't really know what to do. But Srila Prabhupada, the gentleman as he is eternally, so he personally entered into this interviewer's heart in a sort of impersonal way, but positively. In that sense, it has to sink in to be understood a little bit more clearly. So Srila Prabhupada said, "But it is a great credit to the British people that they have established such a great civilization under such hellish conditions and under such hellish weather. This is a great credit to you." And he actually purified the man, because he purified him. He was caring for him, personal but impersonal, not unknowingly to him, purified him. And then the devotees were saying that from that time on, this interviewer was so respectful to Srila Prabhupada, and he actually got Srila Prabhupada to preach on that interview to the entire British nation, in that sense. And Srila Prabhupada is not expert, he's just a natural. In other words, if someone is an expert, they know they're expert. That is not natural. We don't feel we're expert. We're by nature that. So therefore there's no need to be expert. In that sense. Although we may attribute a quality of expert to a devotee, but the devotee who doesn't know is expert, he is expert. Because it's natural. Like that. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that we should follow the scripture, especially hearing from the pure absolute truth, of course through the disciplic succession. So once one disciple, he told Srila Prabhupada, "No, please give me your mercy that I may follow your instructions." Then Srila Prabhupada said, "Look, you are in the deep dark well. I am throwing the rope down. Now, if you are telling the rope and to me, 'Oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please make the rope curl around my fingers so that you can lift me up,' like that." So Srila Prabhupada said, "What is this? My mercy is that I have sent the rope down, but you do not want to hold on to it." Like that. So that's a type of subtle impersonalism. That when help is coming, you do not take it. One does not take it. So therefore both things are required. The mercy of the disciplic succession plus our endeavor, our effort to actually embrace the instructions in practical Krishna consciousness and practical service. That means, you know, fixed sadhana as much as the health can allow, and some practical service as much as the physical, mental and intellectual features of the body can allow, in that sense. Another time, another Indian gentleman, he also approached Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Swamiji, you know, I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence. You know, only you can save me." Like that. So Srila Prabhupada said, "I also cannot save you." Like that. "But I can give you the method by which you can save yourself." That's Krishna consciousness in that way. So we also find that there are two factors that actually stop us from making a spiritual advancement on a very practical level. for spiritual advancement, one has to be materially satisfied. If one is not materially satisfied, then his greed for material development and so-called advancement will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. Is that okay? Like that. So there are two things that are in the way of making spiritual advancement. And this leads to impersonalism within one's own heart by trying to be personal with others to come out of that, but it stops you. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, Darita Daso Guna Rasi Nasi. So Daridra means poverty stricken. Like this. So Daso Guna Rasi Nasi. In other words, poverty is one thing that stops us from moving further. Like that. So when one is poverty stricken, then one's higher nature cannot come forward in one's own consciousness. It becomes sort of null and void, Prabhupada says. It's a type of impersonalism. It becomes null and void. Like that, because of poverty. Now what poverty means? It basically means one has to have some basic needs of food, clothing and shelter to make advancement in spiritual life. Like that. So therefore, there's the other extreme. One extreme is poverty. The other extreme is there that stops us. Like that. And Prabhupada said, similarly, when one becomes greedy, when one becomes greedy, all his good qualifications are lost. It becomes again null and void. Nirvisha Shunyavad, null and void. Becomes like that. See? So therefore the adjustment should be made. And the adjustment is that one should not be poverty stricken, but should be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life and not be greedy. And then one can happily and blissfully engage in devotional service. Yaya Atma Supra Siddhati. One will be fully satisfied, both externally and internally. Now sometimes there may be situations beyond the devotee's control where he likes to be personal with the other devotees, but at the same time impersonality comes in beyond his control. Okay. So for some time, one of the previous temple presidents in our Calcutta temple, like that, he became absorbed in doing business. Now he had good reason to do that, because the temple was very poor. So he thought if he makes his priority of doing some business and getting some money, then the temple can prosper and not be so poor. But in the process of doing that, he neglected the devotees under his care. So, because everyone was very poor, they couldn't even afford milk to drink. Like that. So they used to take money to buy milk that was cheap. And when you get money that is, when you get milk that is cheap, it's either a combination of buffalo milk with water, or it's a combination of buffalo milk with water and soaked paper in India. You know this? They soak paper like that. So the milkman used to soak paper within the milk to add the bulk to the liquid. That's how poor the devotees were in the Calcutta temple. Like that. So especially one devotee, he liked to eat a lot. Probably aware of it. You know him, maybe some of you. His name is Sudama Vipra. He had a lot of tattoos and was strong, like that. So because they were starving to some extent, the devotees, which is not the fault of the president, he was just concentrating on getting money to overcome the poverty of the temple, like that. Yeah. Because Sudama Vipra was also starving and he needed more than the others to eat, like that. used to always go for the ghee wick lamp. And he used to practically squeeze the ghee from the ghee wick lamp and get some drops of ghee so that he can get some nourishment. We could see that how Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they gave the youth and young adulthood to spread Krishna consciousness on such extreme circumstances. This is only one of so many situations in the world, fully surrendered to Srila Prabhupada in the disciplic succession. They'll go through such circumstances. So the devotees were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come because they were suffering like anything. So all the devotees, they complained to Srila Prabhupada, we are starving here, and so forth. So then the GBC spoke up and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I was only trying to execute the will of your divine grace. Then Srila Prabhupada said sarcastically, is it my divine grace that all the devotees should be disturbed? He's actually holding his GBC man responsible, not so much the temple president, because trying his best. But at the same time, he was very sympathetic to the devotees. Of course, we don't have that situation today, but just see how they struggle to actually maintain and spread Krishna consciousness, even right here in India or Bharatavarsh, like that. Then Srila Prabhupada said, he changed it a little bit just to encourage the GBC man, just to encourage the temple president who was trying the best to serve, and just to encourage the devotees who were practically starving, like that. He said, my motto has always been that everything for Krishna and nothing for myself. And therefore I never complained. Of course, he's speaking from his internal level of consciousness, which is cannot be imitated at the same time, like that. And he said, I suffered so much for the sake of this movement. And then he went on to say, and for whom? For your sakes. So because you are suffering for me, you are taking on that suffering also, but actually also going through this starvation. And I appreciate that because I also suffered for all of you. And similarly, you are suffering for all the others who are suffering. Such a wonderful way of encouraging the devotees in their suffering condition. Practically no food to eat. And I said, you know, poverty is one of the obstacles before this. Like that. Daritra dosa guna rasi nasi is an obstacle. But you go beyond dharma, beyond the obstacle of poverty, and see it as blissful in the service of His divine grace. It's quite an amazing thing. And then Prabhupada said, I suffered two heart attacks for you on board the Jaladuta, like that, to New York City, like that. And in New York City alone, I had another stroke. That was the third one, and nobody knew. They only knew of that one in 1967-68 with Brahmananda and Garga Muni. They only knew that. They didn't know about the stroke before that in New York City when he came. Stroke also means heart attack in a way, like that. And Srila Prabhupada then confided, and he said, I didn't tell you all. I had to tolerate something. There was always headaches and ringing in my ears. Now imagine trying to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, attending to the devotees, and being the best role model that we have eternally, but he's always had headaches and ringing in his ears. Like that. And he said, and you cannot conceive of how much I suffered, but I can conceive of your suffering for Krishna's pleasure. But you cannot conceive how much I suffered. And I don't want to discuss this also. And then he concluded, and therefore this is my motto, everything for Krishna and nothing for myself. In that sense. And he said, and you should follow the same. In that way. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You have any comments, corrections, questions you'd like to ask? Let's time, but yes, a microphone there. If somehow you'd like to leave, don't be obliged by me, please. Please, you have other services, you should do that.
Thank you very much for those very nice words, Srila Prabhupada. Professor Shenik did not know how to read Sanskrit.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
He could only read the transliteration of it.
Yes.
And as you said, he was a Mayavadi, and he was very impressed by Srila Prabhupada. But after that interview, he began to criticize.
I knew that, but I didn't. I wanted to just keep this positive in a way.
No, I know. And, because he was not able to appreciate the mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
But he got the mercy nevertheless.
No, definitely he got the mercy.
Yes, that's positive.
Yes.
Thank you. Somebody else? Okay.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. When one is, especially, it's easy as a, well, easier perhaps, as a brahmachari or a sannyasi to everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. When one is in the household or ashram, then one needs to, you know, look after one's griha and one's wife and children. And of course, it's not for oneself, but at the same time, sort of, how do you draw the line? How do you discriminate? You know, how much, you know, what you're keeping for yourself, what you're giving to Krishna, like that.
I can give you the answer in two ways. So we'll give you the first one. You know, Krishna consciousness is not about attachment or detachment. It's not like that. You shouldn't be attached and neither you should be detached. So Krishna consciousness is yukta vairagyam uchyate. If you're attached, fine. Use your attachment in Krishna conscious activities. It's that simple. Now, if you give up, that is dangerous. You want Krishna to take the service of taking care of your family members? You want to give service to Krishna? Krishna, I am giving up to serve you, but you take care of them. See? So that is all karma yoga in the mundane sense. So therefore Prabhupada clearly translates 3rd and 5th chapter in Bhagavad Gita as action in Krishna consciousness. Like that. So if your question is asking about the dress of a sannyasi, the dress of a brahmachari, and the dress of a grihastha or a vanapras, I am not talking about the dress. I'm talking about the consciousness of utilizing your intelligence, your mind, your influence, your wealth, your power, your position, you know, and your attachments in Krishna's service. That is bhakti. Is that okay? Yeah. And the second answer, a brahmachari and a sannyasi, he cannot be a brahmachari or sannyasi if there's no interdependency of household or devotee support. This is a fact. Most of our devotees in the movement are in the grihastha ashram. And I believe a lot more should be entering now into the vanaprastha ashram. In Prabhupada's time there was not, but now you should enter. But no, each one is devotee. Devotee brahmachari, devotee grihastha, devotee vanaprastha. Each one is still a devotee. So as sannyasis and as brahmacharis, we depend very much on the existence of the devotees in the grihastha ashram. Otherwise we have no mission. We take sannyas to spread Krishna consciousness. What's the value of sannyas? We don't need sannyas to go and sit in Rishikesh and Haridwar and Vrindavan and Puri and Mayapur and Navadvip and sit and chant the whole day. Like that. So it requires the base or foundation of the household of Grihastha devotees, their devotees, to actually, you know, they are considered what is called horizontal, like that. And because there's a horizontal base or foundation, if there's no base or foundation horizontally, you cannot hold things up properly vertically. So they uphold the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasa ashram. Otherwise there's no base for this. See? Otherwise you don't need sannyas, you don't need to be a brahmachari. We have to do that to take on the missionary spirit, and we are very much interdependent on those who are in the grihastha ashram. Is that okay? We'll have to stop, the time will go late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness ki jai, Natai Go Premanande.